tonight. We're just looking forward to having. We're looking forward to having just a glorious time tonight. I want us to look forward to an exciting 2012, and we know that God has great things planned for us tonight, as well as for the remaining of the year. Our introductory song was Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. And we're glad that God is with us tonight, as he has been with us throughout 2011. Tonight, we were going to talk about one of the things that our New Year's resolutions we often make every year. Sometimes in December and January, we make New Year's resolutions. And there's three categories we typically make New Year's resolutions for. One is health. We're going to lose some weight in 2012, somebody might say. I'm going to stop eating past 9 o'clock at night. Or how about I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to walk at least 3 days a week. So the whole health area is one of the areas that we oftentimes make New Year's resolutions about. Our spirituality is another area we make resolutions about. Some of us say, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I spoke with someone last week, and she said one of her New Year's resolutions is that she's going to read through the whole Bible in 2012. Some of us are going to be more faithful about Bible study or going to church. We're going to increase our prayer life. So we have spiritual New Year's resolutions, too. Ask yourself, what are my New Year's resolutions? Well, the area we're going to talk about tonight is that third area that we oftentimes make New Year's resolutions about, and those are things concerning our money. We might say for 2012, we're going to get out of debt. For 2012, we're not going to spend so much money. How about for 2012, we are going to reduce our debt? So I'm just asking you to ask yourself, what are your New Year's resolutions for this year? In the area of finances, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, we want to see what does God say. What does God say about the various areas concerning your financial life? So if you have your Bible, we want you to get them out tonight because we're going to turn some pages tonight and find out exactly what God has to say about some things concerning our financial life. We always hear people's opinions, and we hear what we think. We know what we've been raised. Well, I'm going to pose several questions, and then we're going to search the scriptures and see what did the Bible say about the answers to those. So this should be a little bit fun, and if anybody has some questions towards the end, I'll give you a chance to ask them. So while I'm talking, get your pen and paper out and make some notes, so I'll give you a chance to ask questions at the end. At anywhere along the way you do have a question, what I need you to do is push number one on your phone, and that will let me know that you have a question. So keep that in mind. If you have a question while we're talking, push number one. Now, before I get started, we know that this particular radio show is for widows. We want to encourage our widows, those of you who have lost your husbands and you're now going the road alone. Your husband may have taken care of some financial issues, and now it's left up to you, and you're like, what do I do? And if you have a friend, click over real quickly, call your friend and tell them to call in or to log in to blogtalkradio.com/the next chapter and invite them to listen along with us tonight. So we always encourage you to become a part of the next chapter, which is a ministry that encourages widows. And we want to make sure that whatever struggles that you're having, that you don't have to go them alone. So if you're ready, we're going to take our first question. And the first question for tonight is, what does the Bible say about co-signing on a loan? Now, the Bible says, and it answers that question in the book of Proverbs. Now, we know the book of Proverbs is a chapter, has chapters of lots of wisdom, but it says an awful lot about money. And so in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15, The Bible says he who puts up security for another will surely suffer. So a security is like co-signing. So if you sign something for someone else, the Bible says you will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to strike hands in pledge is safe. So when you co-sign for your children, for your parents, for your BFF, your best friend forever, just know that the chances are you being stuck with that loan is real great. Because if they were credit worthy, they wouldn't need your signature. So you only co-sign on a loan when the person that has promised you to pay will be sure that you will pay for it if they don't. So that's what the Bible says on co-signing. I don't know what you have heard. Some people say the Bible says don't co-sign. Well, the Bible doesn't say don't co-sign, but the Bible gives you a strong warning that if you do that, you can surely be stuck with that bill. The next question for tonight is, what does the Bible say about filing bankruptcy? That's a good one. We're in a time where everybody's filing bankruptcy, chapter 11, chapter 13. People just file bankruptcy one time, two times. Sometimes people even file bankruptcy three times. Sometimes you may feel like I have no way out, so I am just doing this because I just have to. The Lord knows my heart. We sometimes feel like we talk to the attorney and the attorney is going to be able to get cleared from us where we don't have to worry about it anymore. And so we have a lot of different thoughts on what we should do about bankruptcy. But in the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 21, it said the wicked borrows and pays not again. You know, I didn't say that. The Bible said it says the wicked borrows and does not pay again. So when you are borrowing money, when you're standing at the cash register in Best Buy buying that new TV, that new computer, when you're getting that new washer and dryer, when you're purchasing that brand new car or used car, when you're at the closing buying your house and you're signing your name, you are promising that you will pay. And then, but the Bible says the wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and give. Another verse, just to kind of give you a little additional information on that, is we want to be reminded that that God is faithful to all of his promises. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says he is faithful to those who he has promised. So those things that God has promised you, those things that he has promised you, you don't have to worry about not being able to pay for those things. Okay, the next question we have for tonight is, what does the Bible say about parents who do not provide for their children? Now, most of us are just wonderful parents. Sometimes we give them too much. It's not the issue of not giving them enough. We give them too much. But there are some parents who feel like they don't have to do for them, for their children. And the Bible is not referring to the computer games and extra tennis shoes, but providing for their future and providing for their daily needs. If you turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5 and verse 8, it reads, if anyone do not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that's a pretty strong statement there. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household. So we have many people that do for lots for other people. They work extra time on their job. They work overtime. They work weekends. They go in early. They skip lunch. They're at that church 2 or 3 days a week, if not every day, because they give, and they want to make sure organizations and other people have, but their household is lacking. And First Timothy tells us that that's not a good thing, that you will be considered someone who has denied their faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So as you're evaluating your life and your spending and your management of time, you want to ask yourself, am I spending my time and my resources in a way that I am taking care of those that are in my household? And so we want to ask yourself that question. We want to also be reminded that the Bible does let us know that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. So some things that may apply to you may be a bit uncomfortable for you tonight as we go through these scriptures, but we want the Holy Spirit to convict you in love and to bring about changes that will bring glory to God. Our next question is, what does the Bible say about investing? Now, lots of people love to invest, and they like to buy stocks and invest in mutual funds and buy CDs. And there are some people who say, oh, no, that's risky, and I don't want to gamble my money away, and I don't know that, you know, investing is what we should do. And some people have had bad experiences with investing, and so they tend to stay away from it. But the Bible addresses investing. In the book of Proverbs, again, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says something that when I first read it, I got actually very excited about it. It says, steady plotting brings prosperity. Steady plotting brings prosperity, but hasty speculation brings poverty. And the rest of it says, the getting of treasures by a lion's tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. So when the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, steady plotting, it means just a little bit along. It's referring to planting seeds in a garden. You know, just go out there, just spread a little bit at a time. That's what brings wealth. You know, $25 a month, $50 a month, just consistently just giving a little bit on a regular basis is what brings wealth. Hasty speculation does bring poverty. So there are some people who have hasty speculations. They got a tip. Somebody told them at work that you need to put some money over in here. There's a new company that came over available, and you need to go out and invest a lot of money over there. So without doing their homework and adequate research, they rush over there off of a speculation or off of a tip and invest money. And the Word of God tells us that that will eventually bring them poverty. They may make a lot of money the next day, but somewhere along the way, they will lose it. So the Bible really says more about money than it really talks about pretty much anything else that we would consider spiritual, because God knows that money is something that we use in our daily lives, and he wants us to be able to manage it so that we can use it for his glory. Let's go on and read a couple more questions, and we'll see what the Bible speaks on. One of the biggest issues many people have these days is debt. Well, let's talk about what debt is first. Debt is it's a liability. It's something that you have decided that you want to borrow as a result of needing something or wanting something, and now you have agreed to return payment. And over time of accumulating things in exchange for promises to pay, we have built a mountain or a monumental pile of debt. Debt in things like mortgage balances and cars and jewelry and appliances and electronics, clothing. Some of us even buy food using credit. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, chapter 15 and verse 9, it says, be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debt, is near, so that you do not show ill toward your needy brother and give him nothing. And what that's saying is, sometimes I've heard people say, you know, I'm ready to file bankruptcy, so therefore what I'm going to do is just buy up everything I can buy, and then I can just throw it all in the bankruptcy. Or for people who are going to lend money, they didn't want to lend it back in the book of Deuteronomy because every 7 years the creditors had to cancel the debt. So they didn't want to offer people any credit because they knew that they probably wouldn't pay them back. So we want to be careful to be faithful to our word. If we say we're going to repay, we're going to repay. And because debt is such a big issue, I think I want to just share a few more scriptures with you on that. We're going to flip a few pages over to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 7. This is a story that some of us may be familiar with, especially some of the, our ladies who are widows out there. It says, she went and told the man of God, and he told her to go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. Now, follow this thought with me for a moment. If you think about all the debt that you have, whether it's $20, $20,000, $200,000, you think about all the debt you have. If you went and sold all of your possessions, would you have enough to either pay off everything or at least pay almost all of it off, especially those credit card debts? If you had this wonderful garage sale, or you put your information on eBay or any of those, or there's another one, I can't think the name of it, eBay or Craigslist, that's what I'm trying to think of, and you sold some of your things to pay off your creditors, would that not be a way to kind of address your debt? And so in the Book of Kings here, the lady had debts more than what she could pay, so the man of God says, well, what you can do is just sell some of your things. So some of us have debts, and we have them, but we don't want to sell anything because we want to keep everything we have, so we don't want to sell anything. But that would be a way that we could remedy some of our indebtedness. I'll give you a couple more in the verse, Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 12. It says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And we know that as being part of the Lord's Prayer. He addresses debt in the Lord's Prayer. So we want us to always remember that when we have debt where people are requiring us to pay them back, we're slow to pay them back. We don't want to answer the phone if they're going to call and ask us to pay the money that we agreed that we would pay. We try not to open the mail when they're saying that we owe. But then there are people who owe us money. Yeah, it might have been just $10 from borrowing from somebody borrowed from you last week, or it'd be a couple $100. Now, when people owe us, we want our money right away. We want it quickly. If they don't give us that money on the very day that we expect it, we want to call them up and we want to let them know that you owe me money. So here in the Book of Matthew is saying, forgiveness of debt should go two ways. So as we want our creditors to forgive us of the debts that we owe them, we should be mindful of, maybe we should be forgiving some people of the debts that they owe us. And let's read this one last one, and then we'll move on away from debt. In the Book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Now, that's a big one. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. So whatever debt you have, it's the beginning of the year. Go and pull out all your bills and write down all of your debts. Just write them, list them on a sheet of paper. It might be one line, or you might need two sheets of paper for some people. Write them all out on a piece of paper. And choose this year to start paying people off. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. The only thing that we want to owe people is to love them. That's what we want to owe. So that's what we're gonna. That's what we're gonna talk about in relationship to debt. Here's another question for you. This is a pretty good question, I think. What does the Bible say about paying taxes? Well, we know over in the New Testament, the religious leaders addressed Jesus on this particular issue, and this is January, the beginning of another tax year, when it's time to go and pay your taxes. Jesus responded to the religious leader and said, well, if it belongs to Caesar, you give it to him. That's what you do. You give him what you owe him. So he does require us to pay taxes. What we do want to do is to be mindful that we don't want to pay more than what we owe. So through wise actions during the year and through getting professional counseling, we can pay the least amount of taxes that's required. But whatever it is that's required. So if you owe money for your taxes from previous years, we want you to put that list on that list of debt and know that that's something that you need to pay as well. We only have about, about 8 minutes left. I'm going to get through just a couple more questions. Keep in mind, if anybody have anything that they want to ask you, just push number one on your phone, and I'll give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you may have. We want to know, what does the Bible say about inheritance? You might have a life insurance policy. You might have this special ring, some collectibles, anything that you want to leave behind. Well, God does even address inheritances in the Bible. And in the book of Proverbs, I love Proverbs when we're talking about money, chapter 13, verse 22, says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. Now, I want you to get that now. It didn't say to his children. It said his children's children. God is interested in generational wealth. He's interested in making sure not just you are taken care of as a spouse, but not just your children are taken care of, but your children's children, not your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And it's hard to imagine taking care of people that's not even born yet. But I think about my grandparents that I really never knew and my great-grandparents who I never knew. I surely would know who they were if they were going to leave me some cash behind. I was going looking around my house, and there is a old sewing machine table that I took from my grandfather's house when he passed, and my mom took it when I was a little girl. That's the only thing that I have from my grandparents. So God is talking about, what are you leaving? What do you have in mind that you want to leave behind for unborn generations? I think that's really, really great. And next question, what does the Bible say about how we should handle money? Because we all have our opinions about how we should handle money, but what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says it is required, not it's asked. It doesn't say it would be nice, but it says it's requirement, it's mandatory that we be found faithful. So we want you to look at your checkbook register, look at your last bank statement, and look at where you have spent your money at and ask yourself, would God call me a faithful steward? Because we know in the Old Testament, in the book of Chronicles, it says that everything in the earth is yours, O Lord, everything. So our whole paychecks, all our money, all of our assets belong to God. So we have been placed as a steward over all of those things. And so when God looks at our financial life, can he look at our life and say, you know what, you all have been great stewards of that which I have entrusted to you. Well, we have lots more questions that we can ask, but, you know, time is running out. I want to remind you that we're going to have even more conversations about money during the book month of January. We're going to come back to you probably another Tuesday this month and share some other pieces of information with you. And then we have our monthly meeting on the third Saturday of every month that's held in Decatur, Georgia. So if you're interested in participating in any of our activities, we encourage you to give us a call. You can call Mary Hollis, who's our lovely director. She can be reached at area code 770-981-9118. And you can always tune in to us every Tuesday night at 11 o'clock p.m. And we're always here to give you information and encouragement that will make your transition to the next chapter of your life so much better. We trust that your holiday season may have been lonely. You may have missed your loved ones. You may have felt like it was hard to get through, but it's January 3rd. In about 31 more minutes, it will be January the 4th. So that's proof that God has taken good care of you. He has just pulled you through. For some of us, he has carried us through. Well, whichever way we have crossed over into another year. We want to give God all the glory. We want to give him the honor. We want to exalt him. We want to magnify him. We want to live a life that's pleasing before him. We want to let him know that we are here as his servants, that we are surrendering our entire lives to him. And whichever way he directs us, we want to be willing soldiers, willing to go and stand the test. We want you to be prayerful for our ministry. We want to keep all members of our ministry girded up and encouraged. If you have someone's phone number, we want you to certainly pick up the phone and give them a call. We want to let them know that they are loved and they are not walking this journey alone. We invite other friends out to our monthly meetings as well as to our Tuesday night Blog Talk Radio. As we come to the end of another broadcast evening, we certainly thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us. We want you to remember that our opening song was Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So throughout the rest of 2012, we want you to know that he is with you. We're going to close out and never would have made it. That's a testimony that we all can attest to, that without the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, how could we have done it? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you for the year that you have brought us through. This has been one of the hardest years some of us have encountered, with so many challenges, so many roads that we had to travel that seemed to be so dark and so turbulent. But we look behind us now, and no longer do we have to say 2011, but we give you praise for having brought us over to another year, a year of manifestation, a year of deliverance. We thank you for just having given us power to keep on going. We want to let you know that we love you, we adore you, we worship you, and we actually just cover every widow everywhere, no matter where they be. Bless any children, bless homes, bless finances, bless health issues. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. We seal this prayer by the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
Hey, I would have lost it all. Oh. Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to them. Tell them, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell them, never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm stronger. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it. Without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord. Oh, good God Almighty. Never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Singing one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh.